From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Megan Kelly. Welcome to Consider This in Boston. In the wake of a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion indicating the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade, abortion has become more of a flashpoint than ever. That's true even here in Massachusetts, a state where the right to an abortion, with some restrictions, is codified into law. Earlier this month, thousands gathered in Boston Common to support abortion rights.
We're here! We'll fight! Abortion is our right! Thank you!
Meanwhile, opponents worry Massachusetts could become a hub for abortions if the state increases funding and access as other states move in the opposite direction. WBUR's Gabriella Emanuel has been looking at data from the state's Department of Public Health to gain a better understanding of who is getting abortions here and how the numbers have changed over the years. And she joins us now. Welcome, Gabriella.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So tell me, how have the abortion numbers changed in Massachusetts since the Supreme Court's landmark decision in 1973?
Yeah. So the data that's available from the state shows a pretty dramatic decline. The numbers peaked in 1979 and 1980 at about 44,000 abortions each year in Massachusetts. Since then, they've dropped to 16,452 in 2020, which is the most recent data we have. So a really substantial drop there. And I should say this mirrors a nationwide trend, and that 2020 number accounts for about 18% of all pregnancies, a statistic that doesn't include miscarriages, since they can be very hard to measure.
That is quite a drop. Why is it so big?
Well, when I put that question to the experts, the immediate response I get is that it's the Affordable Care Act, which increased access to birth control and decreased the number of unintended pregnancies. But the reality is that the numbers were dropping long before the ACA became law in 2010, and even before Massachusetts adopted its own health care law in 2006, which then served as the model for the federal law. So I asked Elizabeth Nash what's going on. She's at the Guttmacher Institute, which is a leading research organization that supports abortion rights. She says a couple other factors are likely playing a role.
There seems to be an increase in infertility over the past decade. Now, we're more recently talking about fewer people having sex. So is that having some of an impact on abortions and the numbers and the rates?
Wow, that's really interesting. So who is getting abortions these days?
So of course, each person's path to an abortion is unique and often very difficult. But these numbers do offer a glimpse at who is impacted and what's at stake in the broader debate. So here's what we know. 3 out of every 4 people, about 75% of those who had abortions in Massachusetts, were in their 20s and early 30s. And although we don't have great data on education, what we do have suggests that 75% of them have no college degree, and about 83% are unmarried.
And so do we have any data on whether the people who get abortions already have children or want children, or are we talking about mostly folks who just don't want a kid at all?
Yeah, it's hard to know about their desires, but what we do know is that more than half of the people who sought abortions, that's 57% here in Massachusetts, had previously had a child, and nearly half, 48%, had a previous abortion. Also, nearly 3/4, 74% of abortions happened at 8 weeks of pregnancy or earlier. That is worth noting because much of the national debate tends to focus on terminations later in pregnancy. This is very seldom the case in Massachusetts.
There are a few ways that an abortion can happen. A person can use medication or they can get the procedure done in a doctor's office. Are there any trends in Massachusetts in terms of the method of abortion?
Good question. So I spoke with Rebecca Hart Holder, the director of Reproductive Equity Now, about this. And she told me that traditionally, she used to say that about 40% were medication-based, basically a combination of pills, and 60% were either surgical or aspiration. Aspiration is where you use kind of light suction or a vacuum to empty the uterus. Now, those numbers are changing, and now it's about 50-50. Here's Hart Holder.
In 2020, we saw a big increase in medication abortion, obviously because that was during the pandemic and people didn't want to have to go into clinics for aspiration or surgical care.
These medications became available about 20 years ago, and there is a lot of talk about how this may become even more common if abortions do become less readily available, since these pills can go through the mail and it's harder to track them.
Okay, so speaking about different states, let's talk about people crossing state lines to get abortions. Do we have a sense of how common that is in Massachusetts?
Yeah. So in 2020, nearly all abortions provided in Massachusetts, that's 94%, were for state residents, people who lived here. Just 4% were provided to people who were out of state, and the remaining few were designated as unknown in the data. Now, anecdotally, I have heard that there have been people crossing state lines, coming from neighboring states, even some from Texas, but it's hard to know how many. My colleague, Martha Biebinger, has been reporting on this, and she says some advocates predict that the chance of a lot of people coming to Massachusetts is very low because the majority of states expected to add limitations are just not nearby.
Well, we'll definitely be watching what happens. Thank you so much for joining us today, Gabriella.
Thanks for having me.
That's WBUR health and science reporter Gabriella Emanuel. Before we go, here's what else is going on. State and local leaders are condemning the shooting at an elementary school in Texas that has left at least 19 children and 2 adults dead. Governor Charlie Baker says he's horrified and heartbroken that shootings continue to happen in schools. And Boston Mayor Michelle Wu says the country should pass sweeping changes to gun laws. Meanwhile, Boston authorities are calling attention to so-called ghost guns after police seized parts and ammunition from a Dorchester home this week. These guns are difficult to trace because they can be made at home using a 3D printer and store-bought components. Interim Suffolk County District Attorney Kevin Hayden calls the case an example of efforts to stop the gun trafficking that causes deadly violence.
This is a type of work that can help reduce more guns from hitting Boston streets and prevent future shootings.
Hayden says his office and federal investigators will use serial numbers found on gun components to trace where the parts came from. He says one of the 2 guns found at Charlestown High School last week was a ghost gun, but adds it's unclear if that gun has any link to the Dorchester raid. In other news, today marks 2 years since the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, which sparked several reforms here in Massachusetts, many of which are still works in progress. One of the biggest of these reforms was the creation of the Peace Officers Standards and Training, or POST, Commission. POST will certify all police officers in the state and create a public database of misconduct complaints. Lawrence Police Chief Roy Vask says there have been questions about the process, but he thinks it will lead to improvements.
Putting out, everything out there for the public to see, and I think that they'll find, or the hope is that they'll find, the majority of the police officers in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts are doing a great job.
Police union members have filed 2 lawsuits against the commission, which could delay the process. All officers are supposed to submit certification paperwork this summer. And finally, here's a little bit of good news. COVID levels in eastern Massachusetts wastewater are dipping downward. State health data show Monday was the 6th day in a row the levels have decreased. The numbers could indicate the ongoing COVID wave may be slowing. And that's it for now. I know today has been a really hard day for a lot of us. If you're hurting or grieving, or if you're just plain worried, you're not alone. I hope you can make a connection today with a family member or a friend, buy a stranger a coffee, or help someone who needs it. Be excellent to yourself and to each other. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Megan Kelly. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey there. A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's Up First in the morning. But a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day. And the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.